So, I mean, Mateo, I had no way to convince you. I mean, you have to see the example, you know, and you have to live the example to see for yourself. And not only don't I have a way to convince you, I mean, I do not have even interest to convince you. Because it's completely up to you. You come here, you ask the questions, you want to find the truth. I mean, I can only tell you what I know, or what I know what the Lord Buddha said, you know, or what I know from my own experience. And that worked for me. It not necessarily must work for you. I mean, everyone has a different kind of tendency, so, I mean, these characteristic tendencies, you know, will lead people to different teachers, who they feel comfortable with. But there's one thing. I mean, the Lord Buddha told us, open your eyes and you will see, open your ears and you will hear. I mean, if we constantly live in the dark, and there are some few teachers who tell us, we live in the dark cave. And there's a teacher, you know, who tells us, if you go this path, you know, you will see the light. And I mean, in the light, you know, it's completely different. But if you don't go the path, you will not see the light. So as long as you don't open your eyes, you will not see the truth. And as long as you keep your ears closed, I mean, you will not hear the truth. And we are blind. The Lord Buddha tells us, you know, we are blinded. We are blinded by our own views. Yeah? So, I mean, that is a symbol for our eyes are closed, you know. Whatever you see, I mean, it is just like dark. Just like when you live in a cave. I mean, there is still, you know, I mean, still you can distinguish between this and between that. And that's how we live in the world, you know. We can distinguish between rock and wood and things like that. Lots of things. But we don't see the truth, because there is no light. So, I mean, you do have to go the path, you know. If you trust somebody, you know, that he's speaking the truth, you know, then you have to follow him. And then test it out for yourself. So, for instance, the most important thing for you, stop thinking. Really stop thinking. I mean, you know, you have heard of Descartes, a philosopher, French, yeah. He said, cogito ergo sum. I think that's why I am. Now, we do the opposite. We don't think. So the I disappears, but there is something else. And if you do the Buddha, if you concentrate on one point, you will come to this experience where there is no thought. And I can guarantee you that you will thank me. Just to have the experience of this space, you know, where there is no thought. It's still full of life. If you continue to concentrate, I mean, everything disappears. Except for what cannot disappear. And that is, I mean, you can call it the true self, but it's not a self in itself. Because it doesn't have a personality. It's common to all beings. Not only human beings, but it's common to heavenly beings, and it's common to animals, and so on. This is the thing that you can experience just by one method.
How much time does it take to reach Islam?
I mean, just for me, you know, I mean, I studied, you know, and I worked, you know, just in a very similar field than you, computer engineering, and it took me 1.5 years to be able to stop my thoughts. But I didn't give up. Because I had faith, or I had trust in that. And then I experienced it. And once I experienced it, I gave up everything else.
I'm usually feeling slower because after 10 years of then I still cannot concentrate on you. Mm. This may be before.
Yeah. I mean, Buddha has a nice thing to it. Buddha is actually the Lord Buddha, and the Lord Buddha resides in our heart. So Buddha itself leads us to this truth, to the Buddha. So maybe it is easier. But of course it is difficult, because all our life we have been trained thinking. I mean, when you were born, first of all you learned how to digest. That took 1 year, you know. When you're a baby, you know, the food that goes in, you know, it just comes out just the same way, because the stomach doesn't know how to digest. But after a while, you know, the stomach learns, you know, how to digest. Hmm? Then you learn to walk. How long did that take? 1 or 2 years. You tried, you fall over, you tried, you fall over, you tried, and you fall over. But for this 1 year, you were only focused on this thing. That's why you could. And then we learned to talk. How long did that take? 1.5 years. We tried and tried, you know, people ridiculed us because they didn't understand what they say. And we got angry because they didn't understand what we say. But we did not give up. So we wanted it. We wanted to walk, we wanted to talk. And then, you know, the biggest part, you know, of our training was to learn to think. Properly. So that it gets results, not just, you know, turning around, spinning around. So you went to school, primary school, secondary school, high school, you know, and university. Just to train your thoughts. 10 years, yeah? More than 10 years, huh? 10 years school, 4 years or 5 years at university, 15 years of training. Now you have to untrain them. That's, you know, you see. But if you put yourself in a situation where you retreat, you know, and just concentrate on this one thing, Buddha. I mean, you should be able, within half a year, you know, to get it going. Half a year or a year, yeah? Depends on.
That's letting me move in here, because in Japan, yeah. I don't know if there is.
No, of course it means you need, not only, no? I mean, you cannot do, you can do it, you know, at home, but you have to be really strong girl. But if you want to do it in a whole day, I mean, yes, you have to get to an environment that is supportive. So that takes care of all your needs, and all what you can focus is good.
So it took you 1.5 years to reach first samadhi.
I mean, I was still working, you know, I was not 1.5 years in the monastery. So I was doing it, you know, one or two hours a day, you know, maybe 3 or 4 hours on the weekend, you know? And then 2 or 3 times a year, 10 days retreat.
Samadhi is hasn't got the time lapse. So you can be in samadhi for 1 minute, and you can in samadhi in samadhi for 3 hours.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
I mean, the first day, the first time I was in samadhi for 3 days.
Okay. Because I had the feeling 2 or 3 times all thoughts are gone as well.
It's just short. I mean, the longer you train, I mean, it's the same thing. You know, you learn to walk, you know, you can stand up, you know, you stand up for a minute, you know, boops, and you fall down. And then you train and train and train, you know, and the longer you train, the longer you can stand.
So you had the short moments before also, but only the deep samadhi.
Probably.
Okay.
I mean, you know, after my first 10-day retreat, you know, I I reached a calm, you know, where I said, wow, what's that? But it wasn't samadhi. It was just, you know, my citta suddenly, you know, was calm. Yeah. All the time, you know, it has been thinking along, you know, memorizing, you know, whirling up, you know, all this dirt and dirt and dirt, not being able to stop to think. Yeah? Mm. And then, you know, for the first time, wow, that's clear sky. And that, you know, that would encourage me, you know, to go on and even go on by myself. And at that time, you know, I mean, tell you quite frankly, I mean, nobody was interested in Germany at that time into this meditation. People, you know, ridiculing. Now 18 or 20 years later, I mean, people start, you know, accepting the fact now of meditation. And, Matteo, the important thing is, it's not a question of time. It's a question of interest. Interest? Just like when you do something, you know, you want to figure something out, you know, you're interested in something. Hmm? You don't hear your wife coming in, you don't hear this, you know, you are just focused on one thing. So if you would be interested in the Buddha, in that same thing, I mean the outside world will slowly disappear and disappear. And you could do that in a day, or you could do that within 1 hour. But because our interest is so short-lived, that's why we don't get that. 100% interest is 100% concentration. So if you really want to understand, you know, I mean, you can ask the same way. I want to understand Buddha. Buddha, Buddha, Buddha. What is this Buddha? If you're really interested, Buddha, just Buddha, Buddha, Buddha. I mean, you will really reach samadhi quite fast.
Can I ask, what is the difference between samadhi and sati?
The deep state of samadhi. If I understand correctly the Satori experience, you know, as I read it, you know, and as people describe it, it's nothing else than the deep state of samadhi where everything else disappears. The whole world disappears.
I cannot say because I didn't read. I heard many people who got it.
Yeah. And what did they tell?
What did they tell? Some is a little bit maybe crazy, because they say that you cannot tell with words.
What? You can?
The explanation sounds a little bit strange.
Yeah, doesn't matter.
Because they say that you cannot explain with words.
Yeah.
The first time I was in the temple, there was the Iraq invasion.
Mm-hmm.
So the head of the temple said, everything is together. He said, I am Saddam Hussein, I'm George Bush.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's a bit strange stuff. But then he explained that what you feel is that there is no border, that everything is together.
Mm-hmm.
So again, but this is not this. So when I was asked about Mu, I didn't know the answer. I kept saying, I don't know, I don't know, I don't know. So one day I went there and I said, everything is together.
Mm-hmm.
I said, you're copying me. This is knowledge. This is not. So he took the stick and pow. And I didn't say that.
I mean, that is, Westerners love to do that, copy. They think they understand something and then they...
It's normal.
Yeah, it's quite normal. But it's, you know, it's really mostly Westerners are doing it. Trying to copy, trying to get smart and things. Matteo. I mean, if the teacher said, you know, the experience of the Satori is oneness, That is still the samadhi. What I'm talking about, where thoughts are gone. Because, I mean, there is no thought of separation. I'm less, or I'm lonely. You know? That thought is gone. So, I mean, you feel one with everything. But from my understanding of Satori, you know, when I read the Zen tradition of Korean and Japanese masters, it is very similar to where they drop in and they drop out, and all what left, you know, all what they know is there was noise. They didn't sleep. But there is not the experience of this, and there's not the experience of that, and there's not the experience of that. They don't know the world anymore. So, I mean, it's really when everything, the whole world, ceases to exist. That's what I thought was a Satori experience. Huh? But maybe, you know, I've never talked to a Japanese master or a Zen master.
I have little knowledge. Mm. I have only knowledge because I only listen. Mm. This is just when you get this thing, it's like a flash. So you cannot. And but it's just like the first step. Then you have to increase it all the time. So there are other questions, and you keep getting a bigger move. But that's all.
So I'm not 100%, but what I'm sure of is of samadhi. There's a state, you know, where you are one, or where there's just calmness or just peace. I mean, it can have so many shades and different, as many as, you know, there are, you know, realms of existence. So I mean, that's why you can't say so much about it, because the experience of each person will differ. However, there's one thing in common. Thought stops. You go in, just like you go into a glass house, and you close the door behind you, and you feel safe. And suddenly, you know, there is no I, there is no fear, there is nothing, you just one. When there was a storm outside, you know, I mean, you still felt the storm, you know, the rain was hitting you. You go inside the glass house, nothing hits you.
That's the same explanation.
Huh?
A similar explanation.
Okay. And then you go out, and then suddenly everything is back. That is upachara samadhi. But the experience in the glass house depends on where the glass house is. So the experience of this differs for certain different kind of people. But it's still, you know. And when you come out, you feel refreshed. That is the most important thing. You know that you have gone in, and you feel peaceful, and there is no separation. There's just, you know, I mean, everything is one. You go out, you feel separate again. But you feel energetic. That is always the sign of samadhi. The experience itself is not that what counts. You know? The experience for this person can be this. The experience for another person can be that. But there is one. If you go down, you know, I mean, within this glass house, there are still certain, you know, it's a world of experience. It's just experience. There's no thought. There's no thought that tells you what kind of experience you have. There's no thought that tells you, you know, what kind of image you see or what kind of vision you have. Huh? There's just this vision. You see it as clear, you know, as sharp as, you know, anybody else. Yeah? And then you come out, you know, and then you can reflect about what this vision was. But you know, you have experienced it. So if you go to somebody and tells you, know, that was bullshit, you know, I mean, I've experienced it. Cannot be bullshit, you know. But maybe it was not important. The experience itself in there is not that important. But it gives us a confidence, you know, that there is a world that is beyond thought. I mean, all our world is created by this thought and memories. You know? I mean, we live by the thoughts, we live by the laws of thoughts, you know, and everything. So we go and experience a new world. And say, oh, that's amazing. And then we come back and we are still in the world of thoughts. But if we stay in this upachara samadhi, or in our what do I call it in English? Excess samadhi. Then you still can. You still can focus on the Buddha, 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 until you know, until the mind really centers it. You really feel, you know, how it closes it. And then it closes it on one point. I mean, all the separation is gone in this one point. I mean, because you still know, I experience this or I experience that. And that will completely center in the deep samadhi, will completely center it, and there's just oneness. And you can't say anything about this oneness. You just dive in. And the next moment, just the next moment, you dive out. But within this moment, there is no space and there is no time. It can happen that half an hour lapsed, 3 hours lapsed, 3 days lapsed, and the body did not move. I mean, if the body was like there and you dive in, that's how you dive out. You know, only one moment, next moment when you get out. Because in this state, you cannot know anything about this world. And that is the deep state of samadhi. And in the Theravada tradition, this is the preview of Nibbana. This is, I mean, it gives you a certain preview where you are going to be when everything is gone. That's why this kind of samadhi for a lot of people would be really important. So they know what they are trying to achieve. Because the achievement then goes, like I said this morning, over wisdom, over investigating the five khandhas to understand this clockwork. I mean, they open the clock, you know, see the gears, you know, they close it, you know, and there's suddenly it's time. Oh, I'm too late, you know. But if they open, you know, there's no time. There's no space. There's just these things working in itself. And that's what we do with investigation, to get to this state. But of course, if you have the previous experience of that oneness, I mean, it's going, you know, you can call it only oneness, because there's no other description. And that samadhi does not differ from one person to the other. It will always be the same experience. And that's what I thought, you know, the Japanese called Satori. But it really doesn't matter. And it doesn't matter. So
after this state of deep samadhi, it's very easy to investigate.
Yes. So that's why we use it.
You ask a question, and
it's just like a laser beam that cuts through everything. Mm-hmm. But I mean, it depends on how long you have been there. If you've been only for 5 minutes, you know, in there, I mean, that energy, that concentration will wear off very quickly. So you ask the first question and whoops, you get the insight. You know? You ask the second question, it's already blurred. And the third question, you know, I mean, there's nothing left of this energy. But if you stayed in for a whole day in this samadhi, you know, I mean, you can do a lot of investigation afterwards. Because then the energy, you know, for me, it felt like, you know, you put your 2 fingers into a black. I mean, you're completely charged. I mean, you're so completely awake. I mean, you have never been so awake in your life. But that, of course, will wear off after a while. So you have to go back again, you know, to recharge yourself.
If you are trained well, you can, if you are trained well, you can do it
once a day.
So you could say, now I want to. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, it depends on, you know, I mean, there are also times, you know, of development of our citta. I just sat down, you know, 1, 2, 3 and gone. But, you know, I mean, I worked so hard, you know, the 1.5 years, you know, or 2.5 years before I got to that.
Then you said it. Time
up
or alarm
clock? No, I just, you know, I mean, I was in a meditation course, you know, and normally they ring a bell, you know, when it starts, you know, an hour later they ring the bell, I was sitting down, you know, and then they ring the bell. I said, okay, now it starts. I was trying to concentrate and everybody was getting up. I said, how can that happen? I mean, I just started. And 1 hour was gone. Next time again. I always heard the bell, you know, where the people were rising, and I said, what is happening, you know? I just, you know, sit down and poops, gone. But then after half a year, you know, it's changed, you know. I couldn't get there so easily. Mm-hmm. So it's not always, you know. I mean, Lungda Mahabua also says, you know, I mean, sometimes, you know, he was in very quickly, and other times he had to fight 11 hours, you know, to get in there. It depends, you know, it depends on the development of your citta.
Is it deteriorating?
No, it has nothing to do with deteriorating. No? It has something to do, you know, if you do investigation, then you won't get it so easily. Because the mind is busy trying to investigate, you know, what is this, you know, how does this work, how does this work, how does this work. Hmm? So the mind will not rest very easily. Hmm? And once, you know, the mind, you know, understands, you know, that the actual fruits are coming when you do investigation, the actual insights are coming when you do investigation, it doesn't want to do samadhi at all. So then when you go there, you know, it's so difficult. Because always, you know, I mean, it has done, you know, investigation, and it just has chopped off all the leaves, you know, and suddenly sees through this big tree, you know, and sees, you know, gaps, and, you know, sees this and this and this and this. I mean, it doesn't want to, stop chopping off these leaves. So you have to force it. Because, you know, while you're chopping off the leaf, you know, the meat that you use for that, you know, is getting blunt and blunt and blunt and blunt, and you don't see it, you know. That you actually don't chop it off, you know, as easy as you did it before. So that's why you have to force yourself, you know, into samadhi. And when the citta starts to investigate it, it doesn't want to go into samadhi.
And what about the reason at this stage?
Yeah, I mean, there are. Okay. Yeah, but now there are dhamma. They disguise themselves as being Dhamma. Telling you, you know, I mean, it's a waste of time, you know, samadhi. Because, you know, investigation is bringing me the fruit. And then only, you know, in retrospect you see it. I mean, it was the Kalisa. But at the moment you think, of course, yes, oh yeah, it's still the path. But you don't see that you're going off the path. I mean, in the end time of your practice, I mean, you will see that the kilesas are not coming by this and by that, you know, like they do in the beginning. They're coming with Dhamma. And luring you into this, you know, yes, you should investigate this, you know. And, you know, as long as when you go in the right direction, you know, they redirect you into another place. Yeah, that's more important, you know, that's not so important.
Therefore, you need a teacher.
Okay. Yes. No, for 99.9% of the people, I mean, they cannot go without a teacher. Who tells them, you know, okay, no, stop this, you know, do this.
No, it's easier with a teacher.
Of course it's easier, you go about 20 times faster. If somebody, you know, I mean, Phulungda Mahapur, he had this great teacher. I mean, he could do investigation of the body within 8 months. And even the investigation of the mind that is so difficult, you know, he could do it, you know, within 2.5 years. With the help of Lumpu Man, who always said, you're stupid, you know. Now you go in this extreme, now you go in that, in the extreme, in the other extreme. I mean, it's a Majjhima, you know? It's a middle path. So you always pulled him out, you know, when he went low. For other people, I mean, it takes, you know, 20 years, 30 years, you know, just to get rid of this or that. And if they have a teacher, I mean, you can point them out, can point it out. Yeah? But if you like to listen, that's the other question.
Miracle. a miracle.
No. No, I mean, Lungpa are always stressed, and also Lungpa Man, I mean, Lungpa Man, you know, had such a hard time, you know, because he had no teacher. He had to figure it out, and he said, I mean, without, if somebody would have told me, you know, and even Lungpa said, you know, when his teacher died, you know, he still had the last entrance, you know. I mean, if Lungpa Man would have told me that, you know, I mean, I would have gone over that within half an hour. So it took me 3 months to figure it out.
It cannot be read by the Tipitaka or
perhaps
you cannot?
No. I mean, the Tipitaka is nice, you know, it's refreshing, you know, and it is, you know, it's invigorating, but it's not a very practical book. I mean, it teaches us samadhi, you know, but it also teaches us, you know, the way of samadhi, you know, satipatthana, you know, I mean, four foundations of mindfulness. We should be mindful of this, and mindful of that. But if a teacher says, you know, I mean, do your walking meditation, you know, do it quickly, you know, if the mind is busy, you know, and do your Buddha, 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 Buddha. I mean, that is not, you can't find that in the Tipitaka. And, you know, if that person has some difficulties, how do I overcome doubt? And then the teacher says, you can do that with this, or you can do it with this, and you can do it with this. Yes, I mean, if you know the Tipitaka, I mean, there are a few things, you know, that say something, how to overcome doubt, how to overcome anger. But of course, the teacher, you know, is the Tipitaka. So, Matteo, do you have any more questions?
At the moment, no more questions.
Oh, good. Andrea had still a lot.
Yes, I have one question about our trip yesterday when we visited the holy places and the places visited.
You want something?
Yeah, can I ask one?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Why is it important to visit such places? What's happening there? Or is it only touristical event?
What do you think?
I think there must be something because all traditional government, Christians have these places, Buddhists have these places, here are these. And I was always doubting. Because what should there be? I think we should get some message, some energy, some connection with these holy persons.
And yeah.
But because of my Christian background, I'm very critical about because it is often only one has to do it out of.
Because everybody else does it.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I think one would have to open his mind.
No, his heart.
His heart, okay.
Then you would feel it. Visiting these places where arahants have lived or where the chedis or the stupas of arahants is invigorating. Gives you energy and it gives you more faith. You know, that people have done the same thing as you're trying to do for you and they were successful. The Lord Buddha, I mean the Lord Buddha died 2,500 years ago. But these people that we visited yesterday, I mean he died 20 years or 30 years ago. Some of them, you know, when we visit, you know, Lungta Mahapua, he just died 3 years ago.
No. Did you feel something?
Yeah. I mean, there is always some energy. But of course, if your mind is full in doubt, you won't feel anything. Just like I told Matthew, if you don't open your eyes, you won't see. If you don't open your ears, you won't hear. If you don't open your heart, you don't feel.
I mean, it's the same everywhere. I think when you go to Rome, to the Vatican and you're really
religious.
Catholic, then you I think feel much.
I visited such places and I felt things, mm-hmm. but I was in doubt whether I'm
Don't worry about it, you know. I mean, the feeling itself, how can it be wrong? Yes. Of course, you know, of course our imagination is so great. I mean, we can imagine all sorts of things that is happening. I mean, and we will never know the difference between imagination and reality if you don't go, you know, to that point in the heart. There we learn, you know, in the heart, you know. That's where we learn how to distinguish what is reality and what is imagination. So, I mean, it always points, you know, whatever we do, it always points back to the heart. If your heart is completely open, I mean, whatever you feel, you don't have to, I mean, don't put it into words. I mean, the feeling itself, you know that you felt it, you know, so.
Yes, this is the
And also, you know, I mean, for you, you know, because you have been influenced by the Tibetan Buddhism, I mean, this kind of, you know, this kind of faith, you know, of this tradition, you know, will come later.
Of this tradition?
Yeah. Of, you know, of the arahants that we visited, you know, there were only two. Lumpufan, Chedi Lumpufan, and Chedi Lumpuon.
Three.
Yeah, so there were two different. It will come later. It will develop, you know. The heart needs, you know, needs some time to develop. The best advice, you know, especially if you go on these kind of trips, open your heart. You know? Just also, you know, to the people, you know, how they behave in the monastery. You know? I mean, you know, this chanting, you know, I mean, it's so powerful. Just ordinary talk. And then even in the morning, you know, I mean, the food procession. You know, I mean, it is something that we are not used to see in the West. That act of generosity, I mean, the amount, you know, I mean, if somebody, you know, if you see in Germany, you know, two or three people giving something, you know, to somebody, you know, I mean, it feels nice. But if you see hundreds of people, you know, waiting, you know, to give something, you know, to the monks. I mean, there were not more than 100 monks, you know, maybe 200, 100 or 200 monks. I don't think even 200. Huh? But waiting to give something in the bowl of the monks, you know, and being happy about it, you know. I mean, this kind of energy you will feel. The happiness of each person, you know, multiplied, you know, in this environment. It's the same thing with chanting.
Not used to this. I think in the West you would have always in the background of your mind that it is only custom or something. You wouldn't. I felt that it is real generosity, but when you are living in the West you are doubting this. Because we are in the West are very stingy,
you know, and we only want, you know, to give, you know, if it has, you know, if it serves a good purpose.
If you get something.
Huh?
If you
want to get something back. You know?